Agrippa said to Paul, in a short time would you persuade me to be a Christian? For you woke people, for this current age, Christian is not a Roman invention. It is not the black man, the white man, the yellow man, or the blue man's invention. It is something that God, out of the context of a suffering people who was serving Christ, began to embrace and accept the criticism and the ridicule of the world around them, mocking them for following the Christ. It was the world system that said, look at those Christinos, those Christ ones. And so the church embraced that reality for themselves. It had nothing to do with their political, social, and geographical dimensions of their life. It had nothing to do with their political power, with their influence, with their ethnic background, their cultural expression. It was a response of their life lived before a culture that was Christless. And that Christless culture said, look at those Christinos in a mocking and derogatory manner. Look what the followers of Jesus did, the disciples of Jesus, the people of the way. They began to call themselves, the disciples, began to call themselves Christians first at Antioch. And this is Antioch of Syria, not Antioch of Pisidia. It's two different Antiochs. And then when Paul stood before a great, powerful political figure, Agrippa, King Agrippa, Agrippa said, in a short time, you think you're going to persuade me to be a Christian? Obviously, his testimony was persuasive. But it did not bring about regeneration, but it brought great understanding to the mind and the heart of Agrippa, that if Agrippa were to die that moment, he would be in hell. Because there was enough knowledge of Christ in his redeeming power to convince him. He said, you almost? Do you think you can? 1 Timothy 1:15 says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The Lord Jesus Christ himself says in Luke chapter 5, 31 and 32, those who are well, if you're not sick, you're well. You do not need a physician. Jesus said, but those who are sick needs a physician. He says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Oh, that's the only way you can become a Christian, is to first be a sinner. No one gets there without being a sinner first, and then a saint. You're lost, and then you're found. You're blind, and then you see. That's how you come into this thing, right? You come alienated from God, and through salvation, you become integrated in God. You have disunity when you come, and you have union when you embrace it by faith. Jesus said, I come to call sinners to repentance. A Christian is one who has faced realistically the problem of what? Personal sin. His own, her own personal sin. Each individual must grapple with their sin condition if the truth of the gospel is being proclaimed. The Bible reveals that each one of us has a twofold personal problem in relation to sin. On the one hand, we have the problem of a bad record. And on the other hand, we have a problem of a bad heart. If we start in Genesis 3 and begin with the tragic account of man's rebellion against God and the fall into sin, then trace the biblical doctrine of sin, hermeneology is the doctrine of sin, all the way through the book of Revelation, we will see that it is not oversimplification to say that everything that the Bible teaches about the doctrine of sin can be reduced to these two fundamental categories, the problem of bad record and the problem of bad heart. Let's look at the problem of a bad record. What do I mean by the problem of bad record? I'm using that terminology to describe what the scripture sets before us as the doctrine of human guilt because of sin. The scripture tells us plainly that we obtain a bad record long before we had experienced any personal existence upon the earth. Before we were born, before we were conceived in our mother's womb, we already had a bad record. Because Romans 5:12 says, if you listen very carefully, that Adam becomes the prototype of the human race. Adam becomes the federal head of all humanity from every ethnic and cultural and social group. And it says in Romans 5:12, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, what's his name? Adam, the first Adam. Let's get our Adams right. We're talking about the first Adam, not the second and last Adam. But that first Adam messed us up. And that second Adam or last Adam cleaned us up. And listen to what he says here. Just as sin came into the world through that one man and death through sin. So that one man sinned, sin came in, sin opened up the door to death. Death spread to all humanity because all sinned. So God is not picking on you and blaming Adam's choice for your choice. Adam represented you and you were going to do the same thing Adam did because he's the prototype of are descendants from Adam and Eve, right? That's why the Apostle Paul dealt with this issue. He says, when did the all sin? We all sin in Adam because he's the representative. He's the prototype. He's the federal head of the human race. I'm preaching the gospel. You don't even believe it. I'm preaching the gospel. You're not even saying amen because the gospel begins in Genesis 3. It's the fall of man. And the promise in Genesis 3:15 is that the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent, and that seed of the serpent will bruise his heel, which is a mortal wound. That is the gospel in a nutshell. That is the protoevangelion. The gospel in a nutshell. So, when did all sin? All sin in
For as in Adam, first Adam, all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Humanity was created without sin in the Garden of Eden, in paradise, the Garden of Delight. But from the moment Adam disobeyed God's command, not the woman, but the man, he messed it up. So the kind of venom you have towards the woman, it really should be pointed towards the man. Right? If that woman wouldn't have done this, if that man would have obeyed God, we wouldn't have this issue today. If that man would have been obedient to God, if that man would have stood on the word of God, if that man would have opened up his mouth when the devil was talking to his wife, we wouldn't be here today. He was there. He was listening. He was passive and quiet. And he knew what God said about this situation. But he chose to do what she wanted him to do. That wasn't her. That was him. Are y'all with me on this? Got to get this right. We are products of, listen, generational sin, not generational curses. Come on, somebody. Talk to me. Don't get caught up into that faulty teaching that you're a product of the generational curses that your mama
before the divine court. The final word is what he's already written in his books. We have a problem of a bad record. A record according to which we are guilty. And here's the question. Why do human beings feel guilty? Because they're sinners. Why do human beings die? Because we're sinners. That was the result of man in the beginning at the garden. When he sinned, he hid. He felt guilty. He was ashamed. He put fig leaves to cover up his body. Why? Because he disobeyed the holy standard of God. There's no amount of counseling that can take away your guilt. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other help I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, man. Our blood songs are beautiful this morning. We need to sing our blood songs outside of the building, inside of the building, on our way to work, from work, going home, from home. We need to sing. That's redeeming blood. That's cleansing blood. That's purifying blood. That's sanctifying blood. We are made right in God through Christ alone. Because we had a bad record. Romans 3:19 says, now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. No one is getting away with what they're doing. No atrocity. No inhumanity to humanity. From the fall to 2022, will get away with their sins. You can do it in darkness, it will come to light. You can hide in the closet, it's going to come out of the closet. You can bury justify what you do. No, you come clean. You take responsibility with the condition of your heart. See, beloved, the degree to which we may feel the awful weight of sin differs from one person to the next. A 10-year-old Sunday school student may assess that sin in his own heart and life.
children away.